Thank you, Elena. That was beautiful. Absolutely. We're following on in our journey towards the promised land in the Exodus, and it's my privilege to be here with you today. Good morning again, and I pray that the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ will be very near to each one of you as we hear his word today. We're going to the land of the pyramids, the land of the pharaohs. I'm going to read from Exodus 12 and verse 41. Our main chapter this week is chapter 14, which is the crossing of the Red Sea. But there's just a few introductory verses we need to pick up that weren't covered last week. In verse 41, I read these words. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. What about that? On the very same day, after 340 years. And then it goes on in verse 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, and a great deal of livestock. 600,000 men, now it doesn't mention the women there, we normally think of 2 million. What an exodus! 2 million plus, probably, and I would like to equate that to the population of Brisbane. What have we got? 2.4 here? About the population of Brisbane leaving Egypt on one day, 340 years after the Lord predicted it. How about that? How accurate is the Lord and his word? Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, I read, the Lord brought them out by his mighty hand. And friends, I believe that so firmly. If it hadn't been for the mighty power of the Lord, it would not have happened. When I was in Egypt a little while ago, among other pyramids, which I had the privilege of climbing through and photographing and what have you, we visited this little pyramid of Lahoon in the Fayyum, and not far away, as we journeyed across the desert, really, there's the pyramid there you can see, I found here, of course, some bleached cattle bones on the desert, and that's not what I was looking for. Went a bit further, just here, where Kathleen Kenyon had excavated previously, and she had found a pyramid builder's village. She identified it firmly as a pyramid builder's village. Here's a sketch here. The artifacts that she found there, of course, are in the museum. Among other things, she found dozens and dozens and dozens of these boxes underneath the homes, and they were filled with up to 3 sets of babies' bones. Does that ring a bell? Remember what Pharaoh did with the boy babies? What he advocated? Also, they left their thongs behind. They would have called them sandals, but I thought that was interesting. Okay, if we're in New Zealand, they'd be jandals, of course. And there were these brick-making moulds. You see, these pyramid builders built with mud brick and straw. And here I am holding a mud brick and straw from the pyramid of Amenhotep III, He was a nasty guy, just like the one before him, Sesostris III. But here, just to show that these pyramids all through this dynasty were made of mud brick and straw. And if you remember the story, which we've been following through, you'll realise that that's how the children of Israel were to work, what they were to build with. Well, we journeyed across Egypt, and as we journeyed, we were following as far as could be possible the journey of the children of Israel, and all of a sudden we saw pictures like this. How could we ever answer it? What on earth was this? It's a desert, and there's a ship. Looks as if it's stranded. Well, the children of Israel didn't see such an object there, because you see, the Suez Canal wasn't built at that time. But if you follow over in Egypt today, you will see the ships of the desert. Fantastic sight as they go through there. Well, we know that the Lord was leading the children of Israel out. And I'm going to read here from Exodus 13, 17 down to 22. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Now, this would have been quicker. I don't think I've got a pointer here. Have I got a pointer here? Probably won't show up there anyway. No. Okay. That would have been right across the top near the ocean there. A quick, straight journey, but the Lord knew that the Philistines would have come out and wage war against them, and the children of Israel would have wanted to go back to Egypt. And that's what this says here. He did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and they return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Can you picture them? In the excess, in more than 2 million, with all their stock. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with them, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth. They camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Just imagine, he's leading them. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So here, not only the great miracle of leading the people out just after the Passover, and we looked at that last week, after they were saved by the blood on the door, the blood of the Lamb. We saved by the blood of the Lamb today. Amen. Are you happy? I am too. How wonderful. Here, as they journeyed, he led them by a cloud at day and a pillar of fire by night. How wonderful. As we go on, we will read chapter 14, 1 to 3. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, and incidentally, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm old-fashioned enough to know that we learn from our Bibles, and I know that we use our media, which is marvellous, but open your Bible if you have it. I'm reading the New King James, 14, 1 to 3. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephron. You shall camp before the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Okay? They had mountains on one side, they had the sea before them, and in a moment we'll find they got Pharaoh's army behind them. This is what was happening here. I've got the traditional route that many Bible believers would think that the children of Israel journeyed on. There are alternate routes which could be even more feasible. But if this traditional route was the way, they probably crossed the Red Sea, and we don't know for sure, but probably crossed it at Abijah, okay? Just down from Suez there. This is an alternate route. Anyway, the big thing is, wherever they crossed the Red Sea, they couldn't have done it themselves. The Lord had to work another miracle. And friends, it was a big miracle. What do you reckon? Over in excess of 2 million people with all their stock. There'd have been lambs, there'd have been babies, etc. Picking it up in verse 5 of chapter 14, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over them, every one of them. No wonder the children of Israel got a bit frightened when they knew what was coming after them. So here he sets out to get his slaves. As we look at the Red Sea, where did it get its name from? It's not the colour of the sea itself. This particular photo was taken by our younger son, John, when he graduated from uni. He spent 7 months, he loves history, his parents do too, but he's brilliant at history, and he spent 7 months backpacking around Europe on his own, and then a little bit later he did the Middle East backpacking again on his own. And one morning he went out here, that's the Red Sea you can see in the front there. He said he waded out into the Red Sea and he took a picture of the Bedouin hut he was staying in, because he was staying in Bedouin huts at this time, okay? And the hills behind. Now, it was early morning and it wasn't a good day for photographing. Those hills are red, and that's where the name of the Red Sea comes from. Here is the colour, and some of them are even more red. We think of Ayers Rock, Uluru. We think of it, if you photograph it at a certain time of the day, it can be a dull colour. But you get it when the sun's in the right position, and friends, it is beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely. These hills were very red, and they're called the Red Hills of the Red Sea. The Red Sea's Red Hills. So that's where I'm told they get their name. Okay, so we're going to pick it up here in verse 9. Of chapter 14, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camped by the sea besides Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And actually, they cried out to Moses, and they accused him, as you'll remember from the story, they accused him of leading them out of Egypt when they could have stayed there, continued as slaves, and you know, there were graves in Egypt, so why did he lead them out there? So poor Moses copped it. Verse is very, very important. This is what we've just read. You see, I forgot to put that up, didn't I? Okay. And then, as they pursued them, then Moses said to the people, verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea." Another miracle, friends. What do you reckon? Here's a painting of Moses standing there with his rod. And of course, it was the mighty power of the Lord that sent that east wind that blew and opened up the sea so all those people could go through. Has anyone ever been to Universal Studios in Los Angeles? One lady? Any other people? No way. Oh, yes, a couple here. Okay, one up here. Thank you. When I was there, I was in the little buggy. You're familiar if you've been there. You go around and, you know, you might have jaws jumping out at you and frighten you to death nearly and all sorts of things. But then we came to the Red Sea. Well, it was supposed to be. And all of a sudden, as the little buggy came along, it opened up. And we went straight through on dry land. You see, that was how they depicted the opening of the Red Sea in the Ten Commandments. But at Universal, the water only came up about this far on each side. But with their camera photography, it looked as if it was, as the Bible says, walls of water on each side of them. So I shall never forget that experience of crossing the Red Sea at Universal Studios. But what a mighty act of the Lord. Think of the children of Israel. Here they are locked in. They've got the sea before them. They've got the mountains on the side. And they've got the Egyptians behind them. There's no escape. Pharaoh knew that. But the Lord was not in his reckoning. And the children of Israel went through and were saved because of the power of the Lord. It says here in verse 19, "The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them." Remember, the cloud was leading them. "Before them and stood behind them. So it came behind the camp of the Egyptians." Between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, but gave light by night to the other. So that the one did not come near the other all that night. Another miracle. Our God is a God of miracles. And friends, he loves you dearly. He loves you dearly. And you know the greatest miracle he's ever done for us? Is to recreate our hearts. To give us a new heart and a new mind. To write his law in our hearts. That we might be born again. Because when we're born again through Christ Jesus by his Holy Spirit, we're bound for the promised land. Amen. Okay, so here the cloud comes, and here we see the artist, of course, and I'm not too sure, I don't think Moses was on a horse, but the artist here has him on a horse, and here's the children of Israel, and of course all their flocks spread out, and there's the cloud behind them, protecting them from the Egyptians. 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea into dry land, and the water was divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the water was a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Amazing? What do you reckon? Do you know the same power is available for us today? He is the mighty God. Well, we know that the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. I'm not going to read the next couple of verses because I am a horse lady. I used to do a lot of show riding, and I don't want to hear some of the atrocities that happened to Pharaoh's horses and chariots. But verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the armies of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Friends, the traditional genealogy and that of the dynasties in Egypt would depict this as happening in the 18th dynasty. The dynasties, of course, as you know, are a family line of kings. Friends, they even have, and I was reading just the other day, they have Thutmose III as the pharaoh of the Exodus. But friends, I've seen his mummy in the Cairo Museum. He wasn't on the bottom of the Red Sea. Other scholars have said, well, it was Amenhotep II. Same thing with him. His mummy's there. But friends, if we were, as some scholars of recent times have suggested, that there was a pharaoh in Upper Egypt, and Upper Egypt is what we'd call down the bottom, of course, okay, and Lower Egypt at the same time, reigning contemporaneously, it would concertina that long period by about 600 years, which would place the pharaoh of the Exodus, as this man I've got here from the Cairo Museum, Khafre Neferhotep I. He was the end of the 12th dynasty, just moving into the 13th dynasty. His mummy's never been found, no pyramid, nothing at all. You know, if we look at what the revised chronology of Egypt, which I have just mentioned a little bit now, we can see so much evidence for the children of Israel in Egypt. It's not there otherwise. You don't find it in the 18th dynasty. They didn't build in mud, brick and straw. There was no evidence of slaves in Egypt in the 18th dynasty, etc., etc. It just didn't fit. But if you look at the 12th dynasty, you find evidence after evidence of the children of Israel being in Egypt, and that this Bible is true. You know, many scholars, many people say Skeptics, forget it. The Bible's wrong. There's no evidence for the children of Israel being in Egypt. That's because they're looking in the wrong place. In the 12th dynasty, I remember photographing, and I can show you another time if you'd like, a beautiful canal in the Fayum. It's called Bar Joseph, and they call it Joseph's Canal. And I asked someone and said, how come it got that name? They said, we don't know, but it's Joseph's Canal. I know where it's got its name. We have ruins of huge storehouses from the same dynasty. And we just go on and on and on. So much evidence, friends. The Bible is true. The children of Israel were in Egypt. We're just people just looking in the wrong place for them. Well, the mighty power of God led them out. And here we find in verse 29, after destroying Pharaoh's army, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the shore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Moses had said, here's another one of the Red Sea hills here, alongside the Red Sea. Moses had said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Friends, how is it with you and me today? Do we want to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? We have the assurance of hope and victory now. What do you think about that? Assurance of hope and victory today, friends. No matter what our challenge is, and we all have challenges, we all have burdens, the Lord can give us hope and victory now and at the coming of Jesus and deliverance from the slavery of sin. You know, that's the greatest burden of the lot. We have been saved from the penalty of sin through Christ. We are being saved from the power of sin because he will give us overcoming power, I believe. And at his coming, we will be saved from the presence of sin. Friends, will you stand still today in Christ and see the salvation of the Lord? May God bless you as you do so. Amen.